I know. Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Marina Pullen. I'm the host of today's podcast of What Would You Do Differently? A chance for business leaders with 10 plus years experience to share with you a moment in their career where maybe given the chance and the magical power of the internet to look back, to reflect and think, maybe I would have done that differently. The idea is that you will learn, maybe learn from other people's mistakes, but also take a moment yourself to consider parts of your career of what you would have been doing, what you would have done differently. Without any further ado, allow me to introduce the one and only Charles Cameron, CEO of RCSA, the industry body of staff and recruiting across Australia and New Zealand, and an amazing lobby group too. You guys have been quite amazing in some of the achievements over the last as many years. And you're also the Vice President of the World Employment Confederation. I hope I got that right because I just practiced that three times, or wrote it down three times. Welcome, Charles. Thanks for coming here on just before Easter, before we all disappear.
I know. It's not what I expected to be doing on the Thursday before Easter, but I like it. But there are more than one Charles Cameron. I often have people come and see Charlie Cameron, go by Charlie in my private life, and there is a Charlie Cameron who plays good footy for the Brisbane Lions. There was a Charles Cameron who was an awesome architect, I think a Scottish architect, who did the Winter Palace just outside of Moskva. So, yeah, not the one and only, but one of them, one of the crew.
One of the crew. Like, I've got to tell you, I've Googled my name trying to find another Marina Pullen in the world, and there is none. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but anyway, probably for another discussion. Tell us about your story, because we're like exploring this idea of self-limiting beliefs and the discomfort that comes with the awareness that you may hold a bit of privilege, and how do you deal with that? How do you manage all of that? I'm really interested in this topic. So over to you. But tell us a story.
I grew up on a farm in northeast Victoria. Black Angus cattle before they were trendy, Marina, and winemaker as well. Yeah, very expensive. Before anyone even knew what marbling was. I went to the Euroa Primary School, which was awesome, did a year or two at Euroa High, and was then shipped off to a school called Geelong Grammar School, which some would know because now the King, Charles, he wasn't actually a student there. He was actually what we call rent-a-pomps. They'd come in, you know, a bit older and basically try and help manage the unruly students up at Timbertop, which is a campus up in the hills near just outside of Mansfield. I guess you grow up, you're amongst the cows. I thought, the cows were the boys, sheep were the girls. I was never going to be a farmer, but I guess there is privilege in that. You know, there is privilege in the security of great parents and education, but, you know, clearly privilege in being sent off to Geelong Grammar School, which I think now I don't send my kids there, but, you know, we're talking a fair whack of money to send your kids off there. Mm. Probably most of my learning leading up to that was actually spending time with the farmhands and really understanding how tough it was. You know, there was a gentleman, I'll call him Ron, who was definitely not privileged, and Dad would try and help out locals, give them an opportunity. He was an awesome guy. I was a bit shy as a kid. I really enjoyed the relationship I developed with him. And he went through a whole heap of, you know, difficult times. He was often being arrested. And, look, unfortunately, he ended up taking his own life in a prison cell in Benalla, which, yeah, obviously as a young kid, it hits you. So when you're sort of sent off to, Geelong Grammar School, probably one of the most privileged educational environments in Australia, if not the Southern Hemisphere, you can't help but stop and think, well, what does that mean for me? What do I want to be like? Whole heap of people there that had a lot of privilege and also a lot of gusto, I'd call it, you know, and would really work those relationships. So in that circumstance, I probably maybe went into my shell a little bit, stayed pretty shy, But the bottom line is, when you're shy, and I've reflected on this recently, it gives you a lot of time to listen, and it gives you a lot of time to reflect, and which is an awesome skill to have, okay? Mm. Not just talking the whole time and telling everybody what you think and, you know, really trying to make your way up the social ladder. So I reflected upon that quite a bit. But to cut to the chase, when I was going through the end of my schooling and I left, I really wanted not to be reliant upon the connections or the privilege or the money or the networks or anything that necessarily could have come with it. And of course you can, you know, what do they say? It's who you know, not what you know, and you've got to work your connections. So when we talk about what would I do differently, I came out of that educational experience saying I will actually not seek to, I guess, leverage those relationships and that privilege, which seems to sort of go a little bit counter to where the whole thing is going these days, which is, you know, privilege is a bad thing. And maybe I was a little bit before my time, and I'm not playing myself up here, but I definitely didn't want to be over-reliant upon those privileged networks and people. But the thing I did wrong is realizing, and it's probably only hit me in the last 2-3 years, that I created almost a self-limiting belief that the having privilege and actually having access to networks and actually being given, you know, that leg up was actually, you know, something that really you should not promote, you should not pursue. But me realizing that you can, when you garner those and you use them for good, it can be an incredibly powerful thing. It can be incredibly powerful in terms of how you empower other people, how you share, you grow, you build networks, you build community, which is something, of course, that I do at RCSA and the World Employment Confederation, and I'm very proud of it. But it struck me, I went to a funeral of a gentleman who ran a very successful recruitment firm in Australia. And I remember sitting there when in the funeral, in Turak, of course, he'd done very well for himself. And I could see all these, you know, I think the Victorian governor was there. You've got radio, TV personalities and whole lot. And they talked about what he was able to do through those connections by helping others. And it was an epiphany, not a religious epiphany, as one might get on the Thursday before Easter. But it was an epiphany in terms of, have I created a belief that is actually limited me? And in fact, when you can use privilege to your advantage, it can be so powerful for all the right reasons. So I think in many ways, I sit here now and I think, would have I done it differently? Absolutely, I would. I wouldn't have seen it as actually something that I should hide or something that I should prevent, but it's actually something that I should actually pursue. And I should use that positive energy, those positive relationships for good. And I know there are hundreds, if not thousands, of Australians and New Zealanders out there who do this day in, day out. So many might be sitting and saying, what the hell? You're an idiot. But maybe that's the whole point. Maybe I was an idiot, but I think I was coming from the right place, but at a time where privilege has almost become something to be ashamed of. I'm sort of going the other way. Maybe when privilege was something that you should pursue or you could pursue to your advantage, I was pushing against it. And now when privilege is something maybe that you shouldn't pursue, maybe I'm looking to go the other way on it. But I think in conclusion, that is something that I think about a lot these days. What could have I done if I'd harnessed that and used it for good? And what formed that self-limiting belief? So
do you regret not rejecting that network on some level? Do you look back and regret that decision?
I think I could have done a lot more good if I had actually harnessed that. But that comes with wisdom. It comes with the knowledge that I am who I am and that I know that I've got a pretty strong moral compass. I remember once I merged my consulting firm with a law firm, and I remember the owner coming to me at some point in time and saying, gee, you're very earnest. And I'm not sure if he actually meant that as a compliment, but I actually took it as one.
You're called earnest too.
There you go. That's why we get along.
Yeah.
Yeah. mind you, I did say to somebody yesterday, oh, you, where have you been? You've been gallivanting around New Zealand. I said, oh, God, that's such a boomer statement. But, we've got to be careful with our earnesting. But, yeah, I absolutely do believe it. And I think it's when you see others and how they can use it. I'm sure at the same time this guy would not have made his millions, you know, in recruitment and beyond. Yeah, but, again, he was a chair of the the Children's Hospital. There are so many things that you can do that are beneficial. So I also contemplated in the context of almost the cancel culture of today, which is we've got to be really careful we don't cancel out the good, and that we can reflect upon the good elements. And again, I'm going to be a bit parochial here. It also gets me thinking about when it comes to the whole, yes, we need to equalize the gender, you know, whether it's, equality, but equally making sure that we don't throw out all the good that can be done by males or those who have privilege and otherwise. And again, no doubt there are great advocates on behalf of those who don't have privilege and those who have been, you know, marginalized in society. But I also think we've got to be really careful to make sure that we don't lose the great empowering opportunity of when those who are privileged and in a beneficial position can really do a lot of good in society.
I think it's interesting you talk about this equality thing within the context of it's almost a discrimination. Like you've got you describe around people with privilege, and for me, I think there's two types of people. There's those who see the opportunity for equality as an end discussion. Like we'll have this end, you know, and we'll bring more people in and we'll educate everyone and everyone will get paid equally. And it's got this feeling of progress. And then there's the others that are more, let's destroy the system and then to see where it all falls. Like they're two different, I guess, approaches to it. I don't know which one's best, but I am interested in your views on this discrimination, because it is a form of discriminatory thinking.
We discriminate every day, don't we? We discriminate on who we invite to our home to share a meal with. We discriminate on who we go away with. We discriminate, you know, again, there's unlawful or unreasonable discrimination. There's discrimination. I mean, I'm not sure I'd use that word because it is a bit loaded, I think. You know, it has connotations that are sometimes negative, but the reality is that we do need to discriminate. You know, we discriminate in terms of who we partner with, those who are seeking to do good rather than maybe just to promote themselves, which is sort of one of the drivers behind why I made my decision and may have made the wrong decision earlier in life as well. But I do get worried, I think, when it comes, and these are the things that go through my mind, and I might be shot down for this, but I also think about in terms of, you know, even things like domestic violence, how do we make sure that we have a full and wide consideration of all the factors that contribute to it? And, you know, are there a lot of men in society who I think are ill-equipped to actually, you know, deal with, you know, whether it might be same sex partners or indeed female partners who are very good at winding them up and actually, to some extent, psychologically subjecting them to some form of abuses as well. And I think these are some of the conversations that we're unable to have these days for fear that you'll be struck down. But in fact, if we don't, we actually can't diagnose the real cause of a lot of problems. I love the fact that there are so many other advocacy groups that are changing my mind around why it's so important to recognise, for example, you know, the Indigenous land, you know, original ownership of this land. And I completely have come around, not that I was ever against it, but I don't think I ever fully realised it. But I love that, but I also really want to make sure on the other side that we don't lose the good. So that comment that you made, that, you know, and we can do this, I think that's very different to just throwing the Molotov cocktail into society and saying, well, F you, if it's not working for me and it's not working for my brothers, sisters and others, then it just should not exist. And I don't think we move well as a society together if we don't have the and in our conversations or our motives.
Well, I think there is that thing, a divided society. It doesn't matter how we divide it up, but divided is divided. And the end talks about creating community through unity, not through division and everyone's self-interested. But I just want to take you back to the decision right back when when you're at like Geelong and Timbertown, which is like, yeah, I think it is the top school. And was there a moment where it was a conscious moment? And I'm interested to know why you rejected that network. Not that you did it, but what was it that you looked at and went,
I'll tell you what.
This is not my jam. Yeah.
I mean, it's sat in my mind. I remember I love cricket. And I remember I was a pretty good bowler. And I remember in my first, you know, I've arrived at down at Cryo, I'm year eight. I was pretty young for my year. I think I was 12 or 13. And I remember going out there and I bowled reasonably well. And I remember this, and I won't use his name, but he came up to me. But you know, clearly he had a surname, and most would probably know that they held a lot of land in the Western District, or the WD as it was known. And I remember him coming up and having a bit of a crack at me, I think because he wanted to be the bowler rather than me, and said something about my surname, you know, the Cameron's this or the Cameron's that. And I thought, fuck you. I mean, what the fuck has a name got to do with whether you can actually do something or not? And I think it was at that point that really cast me, and I think that coupled with the fact that I could actually, you know, take my experiences from, you know, Ron and others who, you know, I'd spent time with, you know, on the back of a horse or back of a motorbike mustering, I thought to myself, this is bullshit. I'm not playing this game. I like cricket. I'll play that game, but I'm not going to play this other one. So maybe there was a bit of an overreaction to that point. But, yeah, when you're 12 and 13, you're on the edge of puberty. You go, your brain's starting to think quite differently.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did think differently at that point in time. Mm. Whether I overreacted, yeah, maybe that's the question. Maybe that's my downfall to some extent. But, hey, I'm still comfortable with who I am. I sleep really well.
Have you spent any time thinking about how your life would have been differently if you had been able to play the game?
I'd probably be more wealthy. That's not the point of it, though, is it?
Could you have? I mean, this is a values discussion. You've got a social, like, justice value, and you're about equality and equity of access and everyone being treated good, bad, and different as individuals. And then you've met the institution. Yeah. Do you even think you could have played the institution game?
I think it would have rubbed hard against me, to be quite honest with you. And I think, you know, when you turn 50, you sort of reflect on who you are and would have it changed the gradual. I don't think it would have. I think, you know, my moral, ethical compass runs pretty strong in that regard. But you don't know that when you're 12 or 13, do you? I think I would have always found it difficult. I see people that I know and I really struggle with their decision-making around, well, you know, I'm going to go here, not because I want to do it, because it's really important for me to get to know this person and they might be able to introduce me to somebody else, et cetera, et cetera. I've got friends who are in those, you know, really privileged positions, far more. Again, you know, we're not, you know, what I'd describe as wealthy, but you know, Dad was just a really bloody hard worker and realised that we should go to a school other than probably Euroa High, which, again, nothing against Euroa High. Some awesome people have come out of that institution. But, yeah, look, I think it would have always rubbed up. But what it did, it created that overreaction. It created that sense of I don't want to be like them. I want to do everything in my power not to be like them. Again, I've been able to probably naturally leverage relationships that I've created myself. I think to that extent, it always would have been difficult for me to do it. And even to this point, I have an aversion to people who are social climbers and social ladder, and I hear about them all the time. And I find that I don't think I'd ever would have been able to do that. It shits my wife to tears, but, you know, for a whole range of reasons. But again, I feel really strong, and it's probably why I've ended up in the job that I have, which is all about, you know, what is the right thing to do, but also being highly pragmatic and practical in the process as well. You can't just sit there and say, we will never do this and we can't do that, because that's not reality. So I think what I've been able to do is, you know, by maybe overreacting early, is bring the pragmatism into, and probably made me more aware of how you can earn the influence rather than actually rely upon others for that influence as well. But there's no question, I probably could have done more, I'll be honest with you, Marina. I could have made a bigger difference in life had I grabbed those earlier opportunities for networking. And again, I can still do that now, which is something that I am looking to do.
Yeah, more. Yeah. What about, Because I, you and I have got this 100% in common. I have a huge aversion for business clubs, networks. There's a couple we have here in Adelaide that, you know, I actually have a bit of an issue with, because the reason that my reason is a shared one with you around social justice. But the other part of it, and I'd be interested in your thoughts, is the people grant access to people through networks, not because of their skills or that they're particularly amazing. And the average level of the performance gets hovers around, you know, the membership of whatever that group is. And if you're someone who values individuality and, I don't want to use the word innovation, but free thinking, you're never ever going to feel like you fit in, and you're always going to feel a little bit on edge because you think, oh, I don't know if I really gel with the group here. And it's, and it's the way you're wired, you know, it's the way it's as natural as anything else.
I'm comfortable sitting to the side, and I suspect you are as well. But it limits you. It does. You know, when we look at opportunities in life, it does limit you. I've no doubt in my mind that me being a bit vocal on things that I think are really important has limited, you know, opportunities. But you're so much richer in other ways, aren't you? And
100%.
But again, who am I to cast judgment upon others and what how they want to do it and how they live their lives, etc. I think there is an opportunity for me over the remaining, call it 15, 20 years of, my working and influencing life to absolutely make, positive influence by connecting others and actually bringing them together, which is exactly, again, as I said earlier, which is what we do, which is coming back to an industry association. I'm constantly thinking, what is the role? Are we relevant in the, in 2020, where are we for? And I think most come back to, networking and empowering. I mean, it was interesting yesterday, somebody shared with me the purpose of LinkedIn, which is to connect people to, I think make them more productive and more successful. And I like that, that's what it is. That's what we do in many ways, is bringing people together. So here's the great irony. It's sort of pulling myself away from it, I've sort of naturally drawn back in. So maybe, again, I'm just going completely back on, would have I been able to do it anyway? I don't think I would have been able to rely upon the privilege to do it, but maybe what I've reflected upon, and I've never actually realised this, I don't know, but is that I still see the value of it, but I've delivered it up in a different way than to rely upon other people and their money and their power to do so.
Yeah, maybe. I'll just add I'm not a psychologist or anything, but maybe inherently you understand the power of networks and community, but you have to be with your community. You have to have the shared value thing going on. Otherwise, you get it. Like I have a great network, but I'm with you. There's lots of people who I see. I won't shake. Terrible. I've got old and cranky. I'm like, nope, nope. Because I feel really uncomfortable with them because of a values clash, or something that I just cannot stomach, or I don't know, it could be anything. Yeah. But then I'll find other people, I'll go up and I'll hug and I'll be like, oh, my God. Yeah. And they're my people, like whatever that
looks like. Probably like me. There's a number of things I just can't accept in life, and one of them is this idea that you can screw somebody in a commercial deal and then get out of it by saying it's just business. Bullshit. It's not just business.
Bullshit. 100% bullshit.
You've screwed my family. You've screwed my shareholders. You've screwed everybody else who's relying upon this deal because you want to feather your fucking nest. And that's bullshit, okay?
Yeah, I agree.
And this idea that commerce sort of allows, and it's a little bit where I have a problem with the religious thing as well, I'll be honest with you, which is this idea you can go and, go to confession and then, hey, that was good. I'm laundered. Remember that? Except laundering of money.
Not quite like that. But
launder our morals. But yeah, I know. Hey, I better be
it's really a little bit more to it than.
I know. It's reflection and it's all. Yeah.
But no, it is.
You sort of get my point, yeah.
I don't know much more than that, but I know there's a little bit more than that.
I think there's my turning point in religion, I think, because my mother was, you know, very, you know, strong Catholic. And I, when I went to First Communion, I got busted running around, which is pretty rare for me, being shy, running around the church. And I was told to go and say three Hail Marys. I had no idea what the hell three Hail Marys was. So I think I just worked up and said, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. And then the priest got completely stuck in. You can't have said it at that time. I go, well, I did. It's like,
that's a lie. Then he got another five home. And did a church.
Yeah,
I can tell you my worst story is no, I don't think I should say that. Let's just say there was a very serious hangover, and when I had to take communion, I gagged.
Oh wow. Jeez.
Hangover. And I must have just smelled.
Yes,
very cool. I'm like, mate, I'm on the verge of bursting into flames. I need to get out of here.
He forgives though, Marina. He forgives.
only if in your heart you want forgiveness.
All right.
I think that's the trick. If you don't care.
I think I'm just hoping in this particular interview, this podcast, we've probably offended more marginalised groups and power groups than any other podcast. So
I know that. Actually, yeah, you're right. I sit on the board of Anglican. Anyway, on that note, thank you so much. That was really good. It was really enjoyable. And it actually resonated something with me around why I almost am allergic to certain. And it's a similar, I'm allergic to some business groups and some networks. That's the only way I can describe it. I'm just allergic to it. I think,
yeah.
And it's not because of the idea of networking. It's for what they stand for, and I don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, which is mainly for self rather than for community and others. That's the point. But I think we have an obligation to share why we do what we do and why we don't join things a little bit more. Otherwise, we're not being our true selves. So, equally, that can get you into trouble. It can be difficult in a life that has already got enough friction in it. But hey, I think when you get that little bit on it, you can just be a cantankerous old bastard. So maybe that's.
You know what? I only got a little bit more time left on this blue light spinning planet, and might as well cause some trouble while we're here. So, with that, thank you so much for your time. I grant you three. I'm not Catholic, so I don't know.
Well, I know what you are. And finally, one of the greatest things that I've enjoyed recently was when you told me recently, you know, a bit of stress in life and, you know, a couple of things not going quite the right way. How do you manage it? To that other great religious institution, what was it? Cut wood, carry water. Cut wood, carry water.
Yeah.
So, may you carry water.
Yeah. When you feel stressed, go cut some wood, carry some water, get your mind out of the stress or the problem. It will give it some time. It'll sort itself.
Thanks. That's for letting me share my bucket.
I've got a lot of wood out the back, so yeah. A lot. It's all cut too. All right. Thank you so much for your time today. I know you're really busy, and yeah, really grateful for that. It was good fun. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Brenda. Bye-bye.